The Dawn Recorded Lecture Service is pleased to present a session from the 1995 General Convention held at Grand Rapids, Michigan. The speaker for this session is Brother Michael Brann, whose subject is the seventh trumpet.
Our topic is the seventh trumpet. This is actually going to be a Bible study, and we're going to compare other areas of the Bible that mention trumpet, and we want to compare a few things today. And we're going to begin with a few texts found in Revelation. I hope you can all read this. We're going to ask the lights to be dimmed a little bit. First of all, I should also thank the Special Services Committee for providing this and the large screen here. I did ask them to dim the lights a little bit and then ask if they could maybe serve a little popcorn and refreshments. And they said they were special, but not quite that special. But anyway, we're going to begin. If you would turn with me to the book of Revelation. And what we are going to do is, in Revelation, you realize there's a series of trumpets and seals and plagues, other things, and all these are designed to show different aspects of the gospel age and the history of the church, the history of the world, various features and aspects. Of course, and I believe, in my understanding, the seventh trumpet would be a picture of our day. The sixth would be the sixth stage of the church and back to the first. And so because we're living in the seventh trumpet, these are things where we would be especially interested in knowing about. So we're going to start at the end, the seventh trumpet. So what we're going to find, if we read Revelation 8, 2, and 6, first of all, and what we're going to find on illustrated on the screen is special features and events that are found under that seventh trumpet. There are a few other things we could add, but these are particular highlights that I think we'll find of interest as we progress through and make a comparison with some other texts of Scripture. Revelation 8, 2 and 6 says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." So we have illustrated that there are seven trumpets, the top one, seven trumpets, and this is the last of a series of seven trumpets. And that is to mean there is not an eighth trumpet or a ninth, there are seven. So it's a completion. Okay. In Revelation 10, verse 7, we have an additional feature described to us about the seventh trumpet. 10:7 says, "In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets." So we've put up here, "the mystery of God finished." Now, if you want to be technical and try to figure out what this mystery of God is, it might be a little vague, because if you look in a concordance and look up all the mysteries that are associated with the Bible, there are several, and you're probably aware of some of them. There's the mystery of God, there's the mystery of faith, there's the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of Babylon, the great mother of harlots, and there's a mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother Wade touched on this. I think if we consider this mystery of God as the giant umbrella of God's divine plan of the ages, and consider that the mystery of God is actually his whole divine plan, and that would include all these other smaller mysteries, but nevertheless important ones and interesting ones, but the whole umbrella picture of God's divine plan of the ages, because it has been hid from ages and dispensations from all mankind, and only a select few have been able to understand this overall concept of God's divine plan of the ages, comparing the permission of evil, patriarchal age, Israel's age, etc., and also the ages to come. The next text of Scripture is, as it's shown on the board, Revelation 11, 15 through 19. We're just going to skip verse 16 for time's sake. Revelation 11, 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded." I want to specify that under point 3. The trumpet sounded, which meant it now goes into effect. There would be a difference between a trumpet lying idle and unused versus one that's used. So this suggests the seventh trumpet goes into effect at this point. "The seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven." This is another point we have suggested under point 5. Voice is one thing. Later we'll see there's also voices associated with this. I'm going to come back to this one in a few moments. "This voice said, 'The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.'" And gone down to verse 17 and 18 says, "Saying, 'We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, that the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldst give reward to the saints, or to the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, both small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth.'" Some of these symbols we've picked out as events associated with the seventh trumpet include the dead being judged. And in here we have a breakdown even of not just all the dead, but we're going to find a special dead judged. And not only in that special dead, we would believe the body of Christ, but there's also eventually the prophets will be judged, and also the dead, both small and great. And we would interpret that as being all the world of mankind. Eventually will be judged under the sounding of this seventh trumpet. This also mentioned that there will be trouble. Point number 6. Trouble on the nations will occur during the seventh trumpet. And one other aspect, it says that the rain begins. Now, my topic is not the rain. In fact, I'm going to skirt around this issue fairly well, as best as I can. Someone suggested to me a thought, and I'm going to have to consider it. I just received it at this convention, that the sense that the rain could perhaps begin at this point would be an overall general rain, not associated with the rain, the thousand-year rain. So, like I say, I'm going to have to consider that. But what I'm merely using this point to show is the Lord's presence. Because in whatever degree you might think the rain has begun, it could not begin without something prior and necessary, and that would be the presence of the King. So that's all I'm going to use this seventh trumpet aspect, is to show that the Lord is present. Okay, with that said, we're going to go to the next scripture, or the comparative scripture, and that is 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. I know most of you know what scriptures we're going to, because the heading says the seventh trump, the last trump, the trump of God, and you're all probably familiar. I don't know why I'm kind of hiding these. I guess I'm trying to keep you to stay in pace with me and not get too far ahead. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52 states, "Behold, I show you a mystery." Let me stop here for a minute. I want you to kind of keep these 7 points in mind, and you try to pick them out, which ones are going to be in common with the seventh trumpet scriptures. So it gives you a little work to do, and I know it's late in the afternoon, we're all a little tired. However, for some reason, I'm wide awake, fortunately. So anyway, you might make a notation of which things that you would agree with would be corresponding to those. And I'm going to tell you which ones that I feel, and we'll see how much we're in agreement. But I'm just going to read the text, and you can check them off. By the way, if you're checking this off and making notes, you can do that. You're free to do that. But I do have a handout later on that has this filled in nice and neat, and it's all typed out, so you can keep it and look at it again later. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, what I see out of this is that this one would be there, the mystery, the trumpet sounded, there's a judgment. Voice, I didn't see that one. Trouble on the nations, yes, and the presence. Now, some of these you might say, how did you get all those out of there? It's obvious that we can see that the mystery is definitely mentioned. So there's a nice correlation. It might be a little, it's one of the mysteries, as I said, mentioned earlier. It's this great mystery that about the resurrection of the dead in Christ, that particular body and select group of people. It mentions in verse 52 that it's called the last trump. We compared Revelation and said that was the last trump also, because there was no eighth trump. There was just seven. So this seems to be in harmony with this. This is called the last. In fact, the Greek word eschatos, last, means the farthest or final. Okay, second one, it says, the trumpet, or third one, the trumpet shall sound. Very definitely saying, this goes into effect now. Okay, number four, were there dead judged? Of course, it's very plainly stated that the dead shall be raised incorruptible. I didn't see anything that mentioned a voice. So I'm going to cross through that, and which is a good point. I think in all of our Bible studies, we don't want to see things that aren't there. We don't want to say, draw conclusions that we like and say, yes, that's there, when in fact it isn't. In fact, and Peter tells us about this, that no scripture is of private interpretation. So we must compare scripture with scripture and not force our views into any information that we are given in the scriptures. However, on the other hand, we want to make sure that we see everything that the Lord is intending for us to see. And that's going to be shown in the next phrase, about trouble. Did you see in those scriptures anything about trouble? Well, honestly, I don't. However, you know, as most people accuse us, if we start talking about different topics and we're witnessing, someone says, you're taking that totally out of context. Well, we want to make sure that we do in our Bible studies also consider the context. If we look at verses 24 and 25, we're going to see that in the context, there's obviously trouble associated here, because it says, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and when he shall have put down all, and I like Brother Russell says, all opposing rule and all opposing power and authority. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. That doesn't sound like a time of peace. It sounds like a lot of trouble, and which we expect there to be. So that's why I check trouble, because in the context we find it. Likewise, the seventh point, the second presence. That is found in verse 23. Again, one of our favorite chapters in the Bible, the resurrection chapter. Verse 23 describes this setting, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Parousia, presence. Okay, so that's why that one's checked. Let's go to our next set of scriptures. This is 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. And it reads like this. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming, parousia, of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, in my examination of these, I see a trumpet mentioned, a descriptive name of a trumpet, perhaps. I see a mystery. I see a trumpet sounding. I see the dead judged and a voice of an archangel. I see trouble and I see the Lord's second presence. All seven of these appear in this one. And again, some of these need to be explained. This is called the trumpet of God. That's the name. I would like to suggest it's the same again as the seventh trumpet. It's the same as the trumpet, the last trumpet, but here it's called the trumpet of God. There's also a mystery, but we didn't read about a mystery, did we? If you back up just a couple of verses in verse 13, Paul says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." So he's talking about the same mystery that Paul did, and this is Paul too. He's talking about the same words he did in 1 Corinthians by saying, the same mystery that I talked about there, I don't want you Thessalonian brethren to be mystified by it either. I don't want you to be in ignorance. So he explains this. So that's why mystery is checked here. It says definitely that the trumpet sounded. The Lord descends accompanied by the shout and the trumpet. So sounding is definitely there. Also definitely mentioned is that the dead in Christ, it says, rise first. So here we get some more clarification under this dead judge. It's not talking about the world of mankind, but it's specifying which dead. And this is the church class. Another definite point mentioned here by the Apostle Paul is the voice of the archangel. We have the voice here. I've neglected to say which I thought that voice was. It says it was when the seventh angel prepared to sound. I think that Brother Russell was the messenger used to present that particular message of truth, this body of truth that we have. It came from our Lord, the archangel, but it came through the messenger, the human agency, Brother Russell. There were some voices back there mentioned I forgot to talk about. And I would like to include, it said there were voices in heaven. I think that we are some of those voices in heaven. As we have understood the message that has revealed to Brother Russell through the Lord, we also add our voices as we go out and publicly proclaim this message by a great voice. And it's mostly broadcast in the heavens or the spiritual world where, of course, most reject it. But the message is being proclaimed nevertheless. Trouble. That is mentioned by verse 17 where it says they're caught up together in the clouds. We always have long associated the clouds with trouble. So here again is a parallel. And lastly, under this scripture, we have another identification as this being the time of our Lord's parousia, as we said in verse 15. They which are alive and remain unto the Lord's presence. So here, seven out of seven are comparative. The next set of scripture is Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his holy angels with a great sound of a trumpet, And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. This one, there's a name given to this trumpet. Well, let me go through, tell you what I see first. I see the trumpet, the mystery, a sounding, the dead judged. Again, I don't see any voice or voices. I see the trouble and the Lord's second presence. This is called a great trumpet. Now, some translate, the King James says, with the sound of a great trumpet, or the great sound of a trumpet. But I think that both the Syriac and Sinaitic versions omit those two words and have a great trumpet. So it's kind of a descriptive title. Again, the same as the seventh trumpet, the trump of God, the last trump, and here it's called the great trumpet. The mystery, well, why did I check that? Again, looking at the context, it's one of our favorite passages of scriptures to determine the age we're in, and that's the questions that the disciples ask at the very beginning of this chapter. What shall be the signs of thy presence and the end of the age? They were mystified by how the Lord was going to reveal himself, and he gave them signs in answer to show them when he is returned so that they or we would actually know. But if you didn't see these signs or didn't understand it, you're still in darkness. So it's still a very mysterious thing to everyone else who doesn't see these things. The third point, the sounding, is not said so much, but it's strongly implied. It says with the great sound of a trumpet, but I just said those sound of are not in the better manuscripts. But it suggests that this trumpet is being blown or implemented at that time. The dead judged. Where did it say this? When it says he's going to gather together his elect from the four winds, this to me implies two parts to this dead being judged. One is, like the others, the resurrection of the sleeping saints. That at that time, the seventh trumpet, they would no longer have to sleep. But as Paul said, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they would be raised. The other part, I think, the elect gathered, is something more like what we're doing right here. The seventh trumpet. The Lord has called us out from darkness. You heard some of the testimonies, how I got the truth. Did you hear some of the places they came from? All different, the four winds of the earth, different systems, different continents, different cultures, all these things, and they were gathered from the four winds and brought together like we are today to feed on the carcass, the evidence, the body of truth that we know and love and appreciate. There are no voices here, so again, I'm not trying to put anything in here, and hopefully I'm not trying to do this anywhere else. Trouble. Again, stated by, says in verse 30, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. We might interpret this as clouds of trouble in the heavens, in the spiritual world, as part of this too. And they are certainly going through very much trouble, especially when I just mentioned where we came from. Many of us came out of those systems. If you didn't directly, your parents, your grandparents, or great-grandparents did, and that sapped the vitality of those churches. And now instead of having warm-hearted, vital Christians, they have an empty shell. So that's why they have church socials and dances and lightning bolts coming down out of the sky, anything to get you to come back to their world. The Lord's second presence is another indication, because that's the whole point of this whole chapter, Matthew 24, is to show evidence of the Lord's presence. And again, it says it right there, when the Son of Man coming, his parousia, is coming in the clouds of heaven. And that's in answer to their question. What will be the sign of thy, not coming, but presence? We'd like to turn to one Old Testament trumpet, just for a few notes of comparison. By the way, if we total these up, we've got 6 out of 7, 7 out of 7, and again, 6 out of 7 correspondences. Now we come to Zephaniah, the first chapter, verses 14 through 16. It says, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers." This, no mystery mentioned, the sounding, no dead judged, voice, trouble and distress. This is termed the day of the trumpet. It's given a name like the others. It's not the seventh, as far as name. It's not the last. It's not the great trumpet. But it's the same trumpet. It's just given a different name, intending to bring us all to these conclusions of the comparison and comparing Scripture to Scripture and bringing out the events associated. There's no mystery mentioned here. I couldn't find one implied anywhere. The trumpet sounding, it's very clear that this trumpet sounds. I didn't see anything about the dead being judged or raised. It perhaps was too early to be talking about that resurrection of the dead at that point in the Bible's time, in Zechariah's day, Zephaniah's. The voice is very, very specifically brought out here, called the voice of the day of Jehovah. And here we get a tie-in when we talked about our Lord's return, the message that he gave to Brother Russell, and the message that we also proclaim. The voice did not originate even with our Lord. It's actually the voice of his Heavenly Father. This is how we often interpret the Lord, Jesus and the Father are one. This is one way and makes them one. They're the import of their message, their purpose, their intentions, the purpose of the gospel age, they're all one. Well, if anyone questioned whether trouble is associated here, you'd be nearly blind, because it says in about 10 different ways that there's definitely a lot of trouble, gloominess and darkness and peril and disaster, all these things. But nothing mentioned about the presence. Out of this, we have, that's four. Four out of seven, that's over 50%, so we're still on the plus side of here. And the overall point is just, again, to show that these, by comparing Scripture with Scripture, feature with feature, we can identify these. And one of the reasons I've liked this is because if you look up any of these Scriptures in Brother Russell's commentaries or the reprints, volumes, he often says this: the seventh trumpet is the same as the last trump, the trump of God. But he doesn't give oftentimes a lot of reason why. And this is to support the reasoning, and which is all good Bible students must do, is to prove things on their own, and to do it in something that our Lord taught all of us to do, and that is the topical Bible study. You recall after his resurrection on his way to Emmaus, and those two disciples walk with him, he said it began from Moses and the prophets to show them how the Lord must suffer and die before he is glorified. And it says they went away, their hearts, later on they said how their hearts burned within them. And I think their hearts burning was primarily because just being with the Lord again was such an impetus to them, such an encouragement. But you know, as the days and weeks and years wore on, they didn't have the Lord's physical presence with them. But he left them with something very vital and important that they could use for the rest of their lives, and that they've hence passed on to all good Bible students down through the ages, and that is the idea of topical Bible study. And that's exactly what we've done here so far. Let's see if I can take this off without doing much damage. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. This is simply a time chart, and I'd like to kind of put a date on some of these things to show the time span of what we're talking about here. If you can recall, maybe you have it on your notes now, what would you identify as the earliest feature of those seven features that we would have a definite time connection with? I would put the Lord's presence, 1874, as something we can nail down very solidly. I'm going to just put Lord's presence. So that would mark this beginning of this trumpet, and it's all those trumpets. It's the seventh trump, the last trump, the trump of God, the great trump. It's all the same time, beginning in 1874. Now, if you look at that same list and try to find what's the farthest thing that will happen in the future from the list that we have, from these seven details, from these seven features. Well, that's where I'd like to come back to the judgment of the dead. One of the, we believe since about 1878, the living saints, or the dead saints in Christ, have been resurrected. So that happens fairly early on, and it continues. But it also includes the judgment of the prophets. Well, we'd find that a little bit later, and what we're expecting, what we call the ancient worthies resurrection. That comes, you know, toward this end of that day, where we're at. But there's also another feature, and that's the judgment of all the dead, both small and great. You know, in Jeremiah 31, it talks about, "They shall all know me from the least to the greatest." Paul quotes it again in Hebrews, the 8th chapter. That's the same terminology. It's the same words. They change it around to say small and great, but it's the same as least to the greatest, which means all mankind will eventually be raised, resurrected, the Greek word anastasis here. And that won't happen. It doesn't happen here. We're not seeing that resurrection yet. This is comes toward the end of this age, right in that area. Not going to be real specific about that, but we know it's going to be toward the end. Brother Russell always interpreted the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, as something that would sound 1,000 years. And here we would pretty much have that. 1874 till the end of that millennial age is this 1,000-year period. So I just want to show you, this is a harmony of these trumpets and their time features. Now this is the one that's all nice and neatly finished and that you can have copies of if you like. I just want to show there's one other trumpet, and maybe you have some more. And if you have some other ones you could add here, I'd be happy to hear what you have to say about them. Now this is a trumpet that Bible students know quite a bit about, and it's called the Jubilee Trumpet. And again, my topic is not the Jubilee, but I'm convinced that we could line up, if we looked at these characteristics in a interpretive fashion, I think we could line up all seven of these things with the Jubilee Trumpet. One of the things that, just on a general basis, that I'd like to share is that if we call this one the seventh trumpet, and there are no more trumpets, if this is called the last trumpet, Greek eschatos, farthest final, and if these are the same as the trumpet of God, the trumpet of Jehovah, the great trumpet, then we must do something else with the Jubilee trumpet. So either it's completely unassociated with this, or it must be, in my own opinion, the same. So we're going to just leave that as a thought for you to consider, and if you have other thoughts, I'd be happy to hear those. But what's the point of all this? You know, you can go home, I can go home, and I've studied this, and you know, you have books and charts and all this. But what does it mean to you personally? If it's all just a series of lining things up and diagramming them and putting them in the right category, it's nearly useless type of information. So we must go home with this material and work with our hands and put it to daily life. And how can we do this? Well, I'd like to suggest just the fact that of our knowing that we are in this last day and we know these things, it should encourage each one of us simply because it's in Revelation, each time the Lord spoke a message to the church, he said, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear." And If we understand these things, if our spiritual ears are open, that means that the Lord has given us something that no one else can hear, no one else can understand. The fact that the Lord called you and told you these things and you can hear them is His way. I don't know what else He could do more for us. He doesn't come down and sit by our side, but He does the next best thing, and that's give us this knowledge of His presence with us. I was trying to figure out a way, if we just did a guesstimate of saying perhaps there's maybe 10,000 saints left on this earth right now to make their calling and election sure out of the 144,000, to make that a comparative number with the world of mankind's population of about 5.5 million. And I appreciate the help. I've asked a few people if they could help me make this a little clearer, and the numbers are just tremendous. If you had population of 5.5 billion right now, it shows the rarity for you to have the truth, to understand the gospel message, the purpose of God's plan. It's like one out of every 550,000 people. I don't know how many there are in this state, but maybe 10 times that. So that would be like there would be 10 in the state of Michigan that would know the truth. Someone suggested maybe using some ping pong balls. And I want to thank Brother Bob Goodman for that thought. And David Stein helped me in because he's an engineer. And so we kind of tried to see, we took kind of the square footage of this auditorium and the size of a ping pong ball, about 1 inch, and we approximated 20 billion ping pong balls. Well, I thought, oh, this would hold that many because ping pong balls are small. But actually, you could fill this place with the rafters front and back, and you wouldn't have 20 billion ping pong balls. You would have to have two auditoriums like this full of ping pong balls if you wanted to represent all mankind. Then out of two auditorium fulls of ping pong balls, just 144,000. Imagine if you had to go searching for each one of those 144,000, how long would it take you to find those, to sift through all the nooks and crannies and under the seats and, you know, through the tundra of, you know, masses of ping pong balls? Be a nearly impossible task. But our Lord has a way of searching out His saints from all the masses of humanity from time immemorial till our day. And we're thankful that He has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. So we just want to make you aware that the Lord loves you so much. It's the best thing He can do for us right now is to give us a knowledge of the truth, so that we can continue, as Colossians says, to continue in the faith, not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Thank you.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and make His face to shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. Amen.